I write novels mainly, and also plays.
I'm a poet. I often perform my work.
I'm a writer, mostly in the fields of science fiction, fantasy and horror.
This is World Words from the British Council, a 10-part series about contemporary British literature.
I've been writing for over 20 years and I've written over 50 books.
In each programme we meet a writer and discuss one of their poems or novels.
I'm a poet and a novelist. The bit I'm going to read from here is a part of a novel called...
Here's Karen Brodie with World Words.
Hello and welcome to the programme. Some of the best known writers in English today have experienced life in more than one culture, something which brings a special flavour to their work. And although today's guest author currently lives in Britain, he comes from another part of the world, which forms the inspiration behind a lot of his writing. Later, we'll hear from international students who have been reading and discussing his work. But now, let's meet today's guest author.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kai Miller. I'm from Jamaica, but I live in Scotland right now. And I'm a poet and a novelist. The bit I'm going to read from here is a part of a novel called The Same Earth. The Same Earth is a kind of biography about a village in Jamaica called Waters Gate. In the section of the story I'm going to read from, a young mother in the village, Miss Dorcas, has just received news from her daughter that her little boy Jonathan has drowned in the river.
So sit back and let Kai Miller transport you to Jamaica with this extract from The Same Earth.
River Mama had taken her poor brother, Miss Dorcas's son, just like the legend, tempted him with a golden comb. Now he was drowned. And when Miss Dorcas heard this, she too collapsed without anyone to catch her, flat out on her doorstep. The other children who had been playing by the river soon arrived. They had not run as fast as the little girl who was energized by a grief she should not have known at that young age. They backed up her story. Yes, Miss Dorcas, yes, it's true. Her little boy was drowned. No, they didn't see exactly how or when. They was just playing a game of hide and seek by the river, and everybody knew Jonathan was a boy who loved to play it dangerous, loved to go into the river and hide, hold his breath under water whenever someone came near. For who would look for him in the waters, don't it? Don't they all had seen him do that before? Yes, yes they had. And don't they had told him play too dangerous, that him luck was going to run out? Don't they had told him? Yes, the children all agreed with each other. They had told him. Well, sure as fate, this time the worst had happened. They found his shoes by the river, but nothing else. All the children called and called. They went into the water. His sister called and called. And it was over an hour. The sun was about to set, and all of them had looked up just in time to see the light glinting off of a rock. And didn't all of them see it? Yes, all the children nodded that they had, glinting on the stone, something that looked like a golden comb, a sure sign of the River Mama, who tempts children her way then drowns them. Soon, everybody was walking down to the Rio Bueno with candles and lamps. They had to hold Miss Dorcas up and carry her the whole way. The children were all silent and serious as they made up the rear of the procession. At the river, men rolled up their pants to their knees and women tied their skirts up high. They all walked into the water, slowly down and around it, feeling the bottom with their feet, searching for something softer and larger than simple river stones. All this time, little Jonathan watched from on top of a mango tree, fearing what was surely going to happen to him, for he realized he had taken a joke too far this time. He was in trouble and he knew it. If Miss Dorcas beat him all the way into next year, he would count himself lucky.
Kai Miller there, reading an extract from The Same Earth, a novel that's set in both Jamaica and the UK and reflects Kai's own experience of both cultures. A group of literature students in Namibia also read that extract, and one of the first things they noticed was the unfamiliar language.
When the children were talking, we found that a lot of the words were put in wrong. The tense was off, or they would use don't at the wrong place. And that kind of gives you the feel that even if I'm not familiar with the Jamaican language, I'm familiar with the English one, and it shows you that these are clearly not people from English descent.
To those students, the narrator of the story doesn't use the kind of English that they're used to. But that doesn't mean to say it's wrong. It just means that the voice in which the story is told is a Jamaican one. Jamaican English has its own features. For example, saying don't it instead of doesn't it. Kai feels that the Jamaican speech patterns he uses give authenticity.
There are parts when, you know, even though it doesn't become the language of the children, that I try to make their voices texture the story. So they say that he was drowned rather than he drowned. And when they asked the question, they said, don't it, don't they all had told him, which is how kids in that area would speak. And I think I'm always trying to do this with my books, that I try to make another kind of language or another way of speaking English. Because I think we all own English, and we all do different things with English. And I like when a story can do that, when we can make English do what we want it to do.
Using Jamaican English is one way in which Kai creates a sense of place. It adds texture to the story. But the literature students also get a strong sense of what Jamaica must be like from his descriptions of the landscape.
I think these people, they live in the rural area. And that's why they just run from the river to tell the mother that the sun drowned in water.
Probably what we find most rivers in Jamaica, and kids don't play the hide and seek their games.
You're listening to World Words, a radio series from the British Council.
For Kai, this rural village by a river, Watersgate, is the very heart of the same earth, and it's rooted in his own experience.
I described it before as a biography of a village, and that's what I was trying to do. I thought, when I moved to the UK the first time, I just kept on thinking of all these fascinating people who I'd know in Jamaica, you know, just a great variety of them who are different in all kinds of ways, and I wanted to write a story about all of those people. And so the whole novel is just lots of these small stories about the people in the village and how they live their lives around this river. So I know people like Jonathan, and I know people like Miss Dorcas. In a way, all of them are invented, but they're invented because I think that's who we all are in a way.
Characters in the same earth are invented, but at the same time drawn from Kai's own experience. Yet the literature students had no problem recognising characters like Miss Dorcas and her mischievous son, Jonathan.
I think Jonathan is a risk taker, very naughty boy. We all know who those are because we were one of those.
I think she loved the boy. And at the same time, she's like strict. Because at the end, when the guy was on the tree, the guy asked himself that, I'm going to be in trouble.
I would say Miss Dorcas is a woman who, what's the word? She spoiled the children a lot, especially Jonathan. And when I read the story, as I go into it, I realize that he's a very mischievous child. And this is probably the reason she loves him so much. And when she gets the news that he has drowned, she just collapsed, which means she's got this really special place in her heart for him. Even though he's giving her so much grief, because one can see that he's giving her grief.
But if the literature students found the characters recognisable, they were less sure about the mythical figure called River Mama.
And didn't all of them see it? Yes, all the children nodded that they had, glinting on the stone, something that looked like a golden comb, a sure sign of the River Mama, who tempts children her way, then drowns them.
River Mama is the legendary figure that supposedly lures Jonathan into the river with a golden comb.
The golden comb is what the river Muma would use to lure boys to the river and then drown them. And yeah, it's golden, I guess, because boys like gold. I'm not exactly sure on that, but yes.
We know that legends don't exist or they're not really true. So I'm just wondering why use something like that to write a story.
I asked Kai to explain the significance of River Mama and why he thinks including her in the story gives even more of an authentic Caribbean flavour to his novel.
River Mama comes into Jamaican folklore partly from Africa and from the character called Water Mama, and partly from the English mermaid, and she becomes a combination of both. And the River Mama is a kind of mermaid figure who keeps on tempting people with a golden comb, the golden comb that she uses to comb her hair. In the legend, she supposedly always puts it on a rock, and people go towards that comb and they're drowned by this mermaid.
But legend it all turns out to be. Naughty boy Jonathan wasn't abducted by a siren with a golden comb. All the time he was sitting in a tree, playing a trick on his mother. And now he realises that he is in very big trouble.
All this time little Jonathan watched from on top of a mango tree, fearing what was surely going to happen to him, for he realised he had taken a joke too far this time. He was in trouble and he knew it. If Miss Dorcas beat him all the way into next year, he would count himself lucky.
Children the world over play tricks on their parents. It's just an example of that common humanity that's at the core of the same earth. As Kai explains, this is what gives the book its title.
I think it comes back to that thing that we're all the same kinds of people. We all have the same kinds of concerns and conflicts at times. By the end of the novel, all these characters in the village, they realise that even though life had taken them to all different kinds of places, no matter where they were always on the same earth, and that means something to them at the end of the novel. And that's my story as well. I grew up in Jamaica my whole life, until 3 years ago I moved to Scotland to teach, but before that I'd come to England, and I've moved all around the world, and I found eventually, again, that we are all the same people. And so that's very much my philosophy.
So this novel presents more than one culture, but a shared human experience. We end this edition of World Words from the British Council by thanking Kai Miller for joining us. And also my thanks to the international students in Namibia for sharing their reactions to the story. I hope you enjoyed that extract from Kai Miller's novel. And if you want to look out for it, his name is spelt K-E-I-M-I-L-L-E-R. And the title of the novel is The Same Earth. I leave you with a chance to hear some of that extract again. Here's Kai Miller.
There was just playing a game of hide and seek by the river, and everybody knew Jonathan was a boy who loved to play it dangerous, loved to go into the river and hide, hold his breath underwater whenever someone came near. For who would look for him in the waters? Don't it? Don't they all had seen him do that before? Yes. Yes, they had. And don't they had told him play too dangerous, that him luck was going to run out? Don't they had told him? Yes, the children all agreed with each other.
That was World Words with Karen Brodie. For a copy of that extract and more information, go to the British Council's website. The address is www.britishcouncil.org/literature.